got good news and bad news. We come to the end of Romans. We come to the last gift mentioned in the 12th chapter of Romans. We've been through a journey, and we've gone through all six preceding the last one, which is this one. Mercy, mercy, mercy. We're going to talk about mercy today. This will be the last on the list that Paul mentions in the book of Romans. Remember, I've told you that the gifts are mentioned in three different ways, or are categorized in three different categories. Okay, so when we look at the gifts that are mentioned in Romans chapter 12, we're talking about motivational gifts. These are the gifts that each and every one of us have been given. You have got one of these in particular, one of these gifts, one of these seven, that drives everything and anything that you do in life. You're motivated by one of these. For example, if you have the gift of prophecy, you're motivated to give people some good word all the time about God and from God and for their benefit. If you have the gift of service, you're always trying to see how you can help others, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know each gift. But then if you have the gift of mercy, then you'll see today what happens when a person has the gift of mercy. Now, does that mean that we all need to wait on a merciful person to come by and do his thing? No. We all need to exercise mercy. Mercy we have been given. And I think we need to be merciful with others, right? The Bible says that we need to, and we ought to, and we should, so we may. Amen? Now, but think about, when we think about the gifts, you got to remember that when God created us, he created you in a unique fashion. He made you unique. There's no one else like you. You know what? There's no one like God, and God said, I'm going to make them like me, and I'm not going to make another one like him or her, right? That's part of the image and likeness of God. That God is unique, no one like him. And when he made you, even if you're a twin, you're not the same, right? That's the way God is. You see, on the outside, the appearance maybe. Well, you know what? It's funny, because when people have a twin, people get confused, and I still get confused which one is which, right? So every time you come to me, you got to tell me your name immediately, right? Because but I'm pretty sure that your husband, your family, the people that are really close to you, they can tell right off the bat who you are. And if you're not out, don't try to fool me, right? So as you grow closer to people, you get to know them. And that's the physical thing. Imagine if we got to know people more intimately and internally. Then you start perceiving, you start seeing things that are not seen. You know what I mean? You start getting in tune of what's in the interior of the person. And the person with the gift of mercy has a special talent for that kind of thing, and we're going to talk about that. But God has made us in a unique fashion. He made us different, with different personalities. If we were all the same, this world would be extremely boring, right? Very boring. It would be really bad. And since we're different, we have different needs. Some people need a little bit more loving than others to function. Some people need a little bit more touch than others to function. Some people need a little bit more attention than others to function. Some people need a little bit of more space in order to function, right? So we're all different. We have different personalities, and we express them, everything uniquely, right? Because God made us different, and we have different needs. Therefore, we need people with different gifts around us in order to fulfill all of those needs that we have. So you're going to need people with the gift of prophecy around you. You're going to need people with the gift of serving. You're going to need people with the gift of teaching around you, because you need every kind of people with all their skills and abilities and talents and gifts in order to fulfill your needs. You're not self-sufficient. Did you know that? Contrary to popular belief, humans are not self-sufficient. We need other people. That's why when people start trying this Christianity, that they only do it at home, and they don't go to a church, they don't meet with a group, they don't meet with other Christians, they watch it all on TV. Is that the Christianity that God calls for? Tell me you have an intimate relationship with the people behind the screen or in the screen. Tell me that you have friends inside that screen. Tell me that that pastor is caring for your needs, or the leaders of the church are caring for your needs. That's impossible through the TV waves, right? That's impossible. When people think, well, I read the Bible and I have my own relationship with God all alone. Well, guess what? You know, if you're reading your Bible, the Bible says so many times that you're part of a body, that you need one another, that you can't be alone, that you can't do it alone, and you will not succeed alone. But people make their own ideas. It's amazing. But God has placed those gifts in each and every one of us to fulfill the needs of others, not just your needs. If God gave you the gift of teaching, it's not to teach yourself, but to teach others. If God gave you the gift of exhortation, it's to exhort others, not just yourself. So you think about that. When we look at the spiritual gifts, it is then about relationships. The gifts are about relationships. You build relationships when you have the gift of service by serving others. That's your prime motivation to build relationships. That's the tool that you will use to build relationships. You think about it, each and every gift helps us to have better relationships with others. So God has equipped us to relate to one another and fulfill our needs, each other's needs in the body through our spiritual gifts in the body of Christ, in the church, or even outside of the church for others, so that they may know Christ, so that we may function in and outside of the body of Christ, even though you can never function outside the body. You will always be a part of the body anyway. So this means that then we need to know our gifts so that we may relate to other people in the best way we can. Think about the following. How can I, with the gift that God has given me, fulfill His purpose for my life and at the same time learn to relate to other people? That should be the question that you ask when you think about your spiritual gift. How can I fulfill God's purpose through this gift? And how can that help me to relate to others in a better way? And now, the gift of mercy, the last one. This is the only one of the gifts in the list of Romans, the last one. And it's, of course, the gift of mercy in. We need to try to understand that this is a very special gift, especially when it comes to relationships, because it gets fairly deep, intimate, and personal. And we're going to see that in a second. So let's talk about the gift. But don't forget that there is one specific gift among this list that you thrive on, the gift that God has given you. That is very important. Remember that I told you that these gifts God gives you when you are born again. Now, how can you be born again? I'll tell you at the end if you don't know. That's no problem. But when you are born again, when you are born of the Spirit, then you receive this gift, and it's just like the motor of your life that helps you serve God. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 12. Let's read from verse 3 all the way through 7. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in the body, in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Check that out. Before he gives us a list of gifts, he made sure that you know you are members of one another. What I'm about to tell you has to do with your one another relationship. It has to do with other people. And then he goes on in verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his servings, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. 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 This is very important, that whatever we do cheerfully, right? We do cheerfully. God talks about giving and said giving cheerfully. God talks about mercy and he talks about doing cheerfully. God is a cheerful God. See, a lot of people don't understand that. God is a God of fun, laughter. You know, he enjoys life. Did you know that? As a matter of fact, you know that the word cheerfulness means hilarious. How do we use that word? When something is very funny, it cracks you up and makes you laugh until you tear up. You're like, that's hilarious. That's what it's talking about. As you exercise mercy, you should do it cheerfully. In other words, cheer the other person. Isn't that what a merciful person does? Cheer them. How many cheerleaders do I have here? Well, if you have the gift, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. You see, no, I'm glad. You see, if you have the gift of mercy, then you're a cheerleader without the uniform, hopefully, maybe, not. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, let's not get into that, right? But but then we know that anything or any gift that we may have, then it's going to affect our relationships. So, of course, it's going to affect our families, the people whom we work with, the people at church, the people whom you go to school with. So you have to pay special attention to your gift, and especially when you talk about parents and children. You know why? Because sometimes the parents want their children to be a certain way, don't you? See, my wife loves when my daughter shows characteristics like hers. She thrives on that. She's like, yo, she's like me. She loves that. And I'm like, yeah, right. Look at the girl. She's just like me anyway. I don't say anything. She's not here, right? Okay. But how many of you get really proud and get really happy and cheerful when your children do as you do? Or somebody tells you, your daughter is just like you. Or your son is just like you. Don't you love it? As parents, you're like, yeah. You don't want them to be like your spouse. You want them to be like you. Well, be very, very, very careful. Because they may not have the same gift as you. The same thing that drives you may not drive them. So you have to be paying special attention to that. So be careful with that. But they have their own personality. But let's just keep going. And I don't think I need to give you the list of all the gifts, but just in case, prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, leading, giving, and mercy. And we talked about different people who had those gifts. Prophecy, Peter, service, Timothy, teaching, Luke, exhortation, the Apostle Paul, leading, Jeremiah, giving, Matthew, mercy. Guess who? Anybody would venture to answer that question. Who do you think in the Bible has the gift of mercy? Don't say Jesus. Don't spoil it. But anybody else that you see in the Bible? Let's just say this. An apostle. A writer. Thank you very much, Sylvia. You'll pick up your prize on the way out. John, make sure you're downstairs to be picked up. So we're going to look at the gift of mercy. When you read the book of John, John is just such a, aw, kind of guy, you know? He's so sweet. He's the one that lays on Jesus' side, and he's always like, huh? Yeah, that's John. He's still manly, though. Some people may think, oh, that's not very manly. Well, I want you to think about something. At the foot of the cross, all the disciples went running. Who was the one standing at the foot of the cross? John. Who was taking care of Mary? John. See that? John's special character. All of a sudden, everybody likes John. So, remember, what does mercy mean? Does anybody know? It means, look at the word, mercy means compassion for the miserable. Mercy, miserable. It's having compassion for the miserable. You write that down, brother? Go ahead. That way you won't forget, and I won't have to say it again. It's compassion for the miserable. Now, mercy, when we look at mercy in the context of the Bible, a lot of times when we see mercy, mercy in the way of practice or in the pragmatic sense is not giving somebody what they deserve. Like when your kids just do something and you say, I ought to smack you silly, but I won't. I'm going to give you a chance. That's mercy. Not giving what somebody deserves. Now, grace is the other stuff, the other side of the coin, right? Giving somebody what they don't deserve. giving goodness, of course, to somebody when they don't deserve it. So you already know that. I always like to make that difference because people tend to forget. But let's look at the characteristics of a person with a gift of mercy. As we look at a person with a gift of mercy, first of all, they have an ability to feel or to sense the atmosphere surrounding a person or a group. They get to a group or they come up to you and they go like, is everything okay? Not that they're like a sense or psychic or anything. Like, I sense a bad vibe around here, you know. Not like, but they do sense that bad vibe around you when you're in trouble, when you're in distress, when you're suffering, when you're sad. They immediately notice that. Have you seen people that never notice your mood? Yeah, they just kind of go by, and you could be the saddest person on earth. They go like, "Hey, what's going on, bro?" And you're like, I am so depressed. And they're like, come on, man. I tell you what. And they start telling you all about themselves, and you're like, and they still don't notice, right? They don't have the gift of mercy, unless they do have it, but they're not in the spirit at the time, right? But they have this sense of being able to kind of perceive what's going on in the atmosphere. Even though these people, they don't live based on emotions, but they're capable of identifying certain emotions that affect people and in their relationships. They kind of have a sense of what's going on around here. They walk into a home and they go like, okay, did y'all two have a fight? And you're like, how did she know? How did he know, right? These are the kind of people that have the gift of mercy. They kind of feel that. And also, they're attracted to people with emotional distress. They're attracted to people with emotional distress. They gravitate to people with problems that have emotional or mental problems. They kind of gravitate that way towards people. Not because they love seeing people suffer, but because they like to be a comfort in people's suffering. You see, the people with emotional and mental needs tend to look for help in these kind of people because they know that their intentions is not just giving them an exhortation or showing them a life lesson immediately. You know, these are the people, the gift of mercy people. It's like you go to them and you tell them, you know what, I messed up. I said something to my daughter that I should have never said. Man, I hurt her feelings. And all of a sudden, they come at you and say, well, you know, the Bible says, do not exasperate your children. You know, like the gift of exhortation, right? No, they're not going to come at you like that. They're not going to come at you and say, well, there is a lesson to learn here. Let me tell you. No, they're not. That's the person with the gift of teaching. The person with the gift of mercy will like, oh, my God, you must be really hurt. Oh, come here. That's the person with the gift of mercy, right? So those are the people who immediately, they'll shed a tear with you, right? All of a sudden they start crying like, why are you crying? Well, because you're crying. Oh my God, right? The people with the gift of mercy, their intention is to comfort, right? They see, they feel, they acknowledge, they recognize the pain in others immediately. And they just cry with them. They're moved. They feel compassion, and they're not going to go at you and say, well, quit crying. You know, they're not going to say that to you, right? Now, they're not going to go at you and say, well, you stand up. Just go wash your face. Drink some water. Get that face out of here, you know. Change that, you know. No. You got to stop whining. You got to stop complaining. No, they don't have the gift of mercy, all right? If you ever find yourself going at people when they are down and out, and that's the way you respond, please don't go to them when they're down and out. Get on your knees and start praying for them far away from them. You may not have the gift of mercy. Even though you got to be merciful, being merciful could mean stay away from them and pray for them. Don't harm them. Don't hurt them, right? So the person with the gift of mercy does not go the extra mile, goes 15 extra miles for you when you're in pain, when you're in whatever, you know, distress you may be in. They respond to people's negative emotions with love. They respond to people's negative emotions with love, okay? They have that ability, and they get attracted to emotional distress. Also, they desire to remove the hurt and bring healing to others. That's their whole purpose. I want you to deal with your pain, and I want your wound to heal. That's what I want for you. That's a person with a gift of mercy right there. For example, a person comes and they have disobeyed God in whatever way, and they are very distressed because they've been disobedient. The person with the gift of mercy does not come correcting. Their idea or their motivation is not to come over and correct the person, right? Now, for example, if you're going through pain and you go to a person with the gift of prophecy, they might say to you, well, you got in that mess, you get out of that mess. That's the person with the gift of prophecy, right? You've heard some of those. Maybe you are one of those. But the person with the gift of exhortation might say, well, let them hurt. That's some good pain, because God's going to use that pain to do something in his life. Maybe God's using his chisel. Go ahead, chisel, God, because they need it, right? That's maybe the person with the gift of exhortation. Now I'm being a little exaggerated here, right? Maybe not, because some people actually do react that way. But the person with the gift of mercy will go to him and say, what's hurting? Oh, my God, now I'm hurting. Right? And there they go. They get mad at the person with the exhortation. What do you mean let them hurt? Just shut up. And the person with the gift of exhortation says, well, God says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that all things work for the good of those who love him. And they forget that last phrase, love, right? Be careful with that. Mercy. Some people think that these are people with, they're too feely. They're too sensitive. But they're not. They've been gifted by God to be gentle and to be kind and to feel compassion for those in need and even for those who have been in disobedience. You see, in church, crazy things happen. Like sin happens in church. People sin. Church people sin. Christians sin, and sometimes extremely badly. So what do other Christians do? Well, I'm glad he's not coming to this church anymore. I see you don't got the gift of mercy. Or all of a sudden you think, well, oh my God, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, man. Oh, my God, if it was me, I'd kill him or kill her. Oh, my God, he is lucky to be alive. I don't even want to talk to them. I can't even look at their face. Oh, my God, I just can't. I just can't. Wow, Mr. Holy You. Maybe that's because you don't have the gift of mercy, but you need to exercise mercy either way, right? You see, that's not Christ-like. Mercy is Christ-like. They are usually the ones to try to help those who have fallen the deepest. They see people fall in a deep pit of disobedience or in a very nasty sin, and they're the first one to say, come on, we need to help this guy up. Those are the people with the gift of mercy. Now, the people with the gift of mercy have to be very careful also, because when you want to exercise mercy on somebody, you don't want to get in God's way. Think about it. A person goes deep in a hole in disobedience, and if you want to be so merciful that you're getting in God's way, and God's saying, get out the way, I want him to stay a little bit longer in there, he needs it, that's why I got him there right now, so just get out the way, and you're the one that's going to get slapped in the head trying to be so merciful. So you see what I'm saying? You have to have balance. You have to be careful with the gift of mercy. If you are the person with that gift, even if you're not, you have to be careful. Because sometimes, yes, God will use that adversity to change someone. You see, when a sin is discovered in a person and made public, there is a reason for that. Maybe God wants to cleanse that person. The problem is that when people fall into that kind of pit and they get discovered, unfortunately, they might suicide, they might hurt themselves or hurt somebody else or something. And by the way, we just had something like that happen. At the New Orleans Baptist Seminary, one of our professors, dearly loved, I mean, this guy is known around the community of Gentilly, not just at the seminary, but everywhere else. Around, over at Twin Tires, or Tire Town, whatever it's called. They know this guy. I mean, they really know him. Advanced Auto Parts. All the auto parts and mechanics around, they know this guy, this professor. Because his ministry was very simple. Anybody, student, visitor, professor, anybody that would have a broken car, he would go fix it. He'd get his hands dirty. Any student out of the thousands would call the seminary and say, my car broke down in Mississippi. And he's like, give me the address. I'll go pick him up. I'll go get that car. And he'll fix it for free. Sometimes even buy the parts for people. Everybody knew him because of his gift of service. Unfortunately, this professor had a problem. Have you heard about the Ashley whatever Madison is a scandal? His name was found on the list. And two Mondays ago, when the president of our campus found out, brought him over to the office and said, Dr. Gibson, unfortunately, we have a problem, and we found your name on this list. Is that true? He admitted. He confessed. He was fired on the spot. He went home. He lived on campus. That was early in the morning. At 5 p.m. when his wife came back from work, found him unconscious on the floor in the bedroom. EMS came over. He died on the spot. No one knows how he died, but it looks like it was suicide. That's painful that somebody would get to that. And a person with a gift of mercy is a person that says, why didn't they do something for him and let him go to his house alone? And let me tell you, that's the big question that the seminary president and the professors are asking themselves. Why didn't we stay with him and we sent him home? Why didn't someone stay with him? Well, he needs his space. Well, this and that. But a person with a gift of mercy is the one that asks themselves that and takes it to heart. You see, even in the church, when things like that happen, it could be the most gruesome of sin. There's got to be some people with exhortation. There's got to be some people with prophecy. There's got to be some people also with mercy saying, we need to lift them up and restore them to the grace of God. So that's what the person with the gift of mercy does. And you see, we all have to be compassionate. We all have to be merciful. We all have to be understanding. But we have to be careful when God is working in somebody's life and allowing some hurt. And God is the one that brings healing. But he may use you through that gift of mercy. Or even if you don't have it, you can still be merciful to others. Now, also, they're able to identify with people's hurts. They're able to identify. Remember at the beginning I told you, these are the people who come into a room and they sense when something is not right. But that perception of them takes them to identify with people's hurt. It takes them to the point where when they come into a room and say, something happened. What happened? Can somebody tell me? Something's not right in here. And they say, well, so-and-so found out that his wife is cheating on him. Oh my God. Immediately they identify with that person's pain, even though they might not have been or gone through the same experience. But if they could, they take their pain and put it on themselves. You know people like that? People who are saying, oh my God. And they pray, let it happen to me. Of course, parents do that with their children, don't we? If our children get sick, or if our children are in distress or whatever, we say, God, if you could only give me that pain and deliver them. Deliver them. Right? Well, the person with the gift of mercy does not only do that for their children. They do it for anybody because that's their makeup. That's how God designed them. They hurt when people hurt. They hurt with those who are hurting. And even the Bible says that every one of us as Christians should hurt with those who hurt and rejoice with those who rejoice. But the person with the gift of mercy is just an amazing thing that in their hearts they just take on the pain of other people. Now they have to be careful, but that could be unhealthy too. You know, when you take somebody else's pain and take it to, Jesus paid for our hurts and our wounds on the cross. So be careful not to try to be and take off people's cross either. But there's a certain level that we exercise when we exercise mercy, of getting into people's shoes and suffering their pain with them. They want to listen to people. They want to listen to people, even though, and these are the people that even though you know they have not been in the same circumstances, but you know they'll understand you. You know they'll listen to you. You know that they will care. The people with the gift of mercy don't need to go through every situation to know the pain that people are going through. They're honest. I haven't gone through what you're going through, but man, I feel your pain because I see you hurting, and when you're hurting, I hurt. See that? You don't have to go through the same problems, even though Jesus went through every single suffering you can imagine. Jesus has gone through everything. We have not been given or tempted or put through anything that Jesus Christ did not go through for you and me, the Bible says. So he is understanding. He is understanding. We want to be like him, understanding other people's pain and their circumstances. The problem is that can happen sometimes with a person with a gift of mercy, especially women. A woman with a gift of mercy will see a man in distress, a brother from church, and tap him on the shoulder and say, "What's going on, brother? You got a sad face. What's going on?" "Oh, my God, I'm having problems at home. My wife wants to leave me and this and that." And that lady with the gift of mercy goes like, "Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness, you must be destroyed. Oh, my goodness." And that guy's thinking, "She's interested. She likes me." Immediately, his thoughts go on, "Well, maybe I can just move in with her and forget about that one because she won't let me anyway. She wants to take me in. Oh, my God, this could be good. She good looking too. Oh, my good." And all it was a simple act of mercy from this woman because she cares about your pain and your hurt. Guys, don't you ever, ever, ever mistake an act of kindness with an attraction. It can get you in so, so much deep, deep trouble. Especially guys. Women do the same thing too when they're hurting, right? So you got to be careful, especially when it's the opposite sex. It could create big emotional problems, and you have to exercise a lot of caution. So be careful also if you have the gift of mercy, not to get too involved in people's problems to where you get into the problem with them and then you become a problem for them and for everybody else in that relationship. And that's inappropriate. Pastors, leaders, counselors need to be very careful with this, especially, you know, those of us who have to counsel people or give advice in any certain way. We have to be very, very careful because people tend to look up to people who give either good advice or give it comfort or give them some type of sense of worth, and they start thinking, "Oh my God, this person really, really, really cares for me." And they start thinking of caring in other ways, which are not good. So be careful, right? They identify with other people's hurts, but they need to be careful. They're sensitive to words and actions that will hurt other people. I mean, they're on the lookout that when they're having conversations, they don't like it when you talk bad about somebody else. They don't like it when you say words against somebody else. They don't like it when you hurt other people in your conversations. These are the people that you mention. It could be true, but these are the people when you mention, "Oh my God, so-and-so gets on my nerves. You see, blah, 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 blah." And immediately this person with the gift of mercy is over here thinking, "You know what, you may be right, but also I know that so-and-so, and she's very caring. She's very nice. You know what?" Oh, they become the defenders of the miserable. They become like lawyers. Have you met people like that? My wife calls them the defenders of the poor. They defend everybody and anybody. They always see the good in somebody, whether it is one thing. But they cling on to that to defend that person and their character. You see, when they hear other person talking about somebody else, they just don't have peace. And you know what? We need people with the gift of mercy to keep us in check like that. Because sometimes we may say words about somebody else and that other person says, "Well, do you know what they're going through right now? Oops." Right? And all of a sudden, "Oops, put me in check. Maybe I should change my words." And they go like, "You know, they're having a really tough time financially right now. And that's put a lot of stress in their lives. Maybe we ought to pray for them." Oh my God, you call me up on that. Goodness gracious, that hurts. But the person with the gift of mercy will defend other people and find a positive in them, make sure that other people don't criticize them all the way. And they bring joy and they bring cheerfulness to the body of Christ because they're merciful, because they care, because they're always looking out for people being healed. And when you're healed, you get happy. Amen? You see, when your wounds are healed, you get happy. When you're hurting and somebody comes alongside to comfort, you start getting happy. Cheerful. They're cheerleaders. That's a great thing. You know those people who are always on defense of others. Now, if you have the gift of mercy, these are a couple of phrases that you might say when somebody says something about somebody. Well, you know nobody's perfect. Oh. Yeah, you're right. Oh. Poor thing. Pobrecito. Right? There's people who have the gift of mercy. Either that or they're always, I don't know, they could be weak too. But people who are always like, poor thing. Oh my goodness. Aw. Gift of mercy, right? So think about it. But you need to have balance, like I said before. All right? They don't like, the person with the gift of mercy may struggle with being firm, especially with kids. You know, as parents, when you have the gift of mercy, sometimes you're like, you know what? You deal with him because I don't want to go there. And you leave your spouse to do the discipline and the correction because you just, the person with the gift of mercy doesn't like punishing their kids. They hate calling people's attentions. They hate having to raise their voice. They hate that. Some of you are saying, none of my parents had the gift of mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. They had some gift. Don't worry. They have to be careful because they need to be firm. Now, don't go at attacking another person. The person with the gift of mercy will defend them firmly. That's when they defend people. They get firm and they go up and go to bat for other people, right? All of a sudden, they become giants. But they also respond very harshly to rejection. Like I said, they don't like rejection. They don't like it when people are rejected. They don't like that. When they see that their friends are rejected or their people are rejected or somebody, oh my goodness, they go out and go all out on behalf of that person harshly because they're loyal in their relationships. I told you last week, and if I didn't tell you, I want to remind you, if anything, I said this in some meeting. Oh, it was in the leaders' meeting, and I'm going to say it here. As a parent, tell me if there's anything that you actually enjoy and fills your heart like nothing else, like people loving your kids or treating your kids with respect and dignity. You love my kids, you treat them right. Oh my goodness, you won my heart, didn't you? Right? As parents, when you become a parent, your children become the thing that you cherish and you protect, and you just think you hurt them. That's it. You're done. I'm pulling a Karate Kid on you. Right? I didn't do that very well, I know. It's just that this thing doesn't make it look good. If it wasn't here, you'll be surprised and impressed. But see, the same thing with the people with the gift of mercy, when they don't like it when people are harsher, they reject it. All of a sudden, they come out as the loyal friend and come out in their defense. And they take offense, even though they didn't offend them. They don't like rejection. That's one of the most negative emotions a person can experience, and they hate that. We all need mercy. And God has placed people with mercy, with this gift, among ourselves that can respond and can stand up next to us. And that's a great thing. Amen? We all need somebody to stand up for us once in a while when we're down. All right, let's go to the last three and let's get out of here. They're able to perceive lack of love and are more vulnerable. They know when something is just not loving around, or and they become vulnerable. There are some people that simply do not, and they have not learned to love right for whatever reason. Maybe they've been hurt all of their lives, or for whatever reason, they just can't. They can't love others very well. And they bring down a shade and a curtain, and they cover themselves. They surround themselves with walls because they want to protect themselves, and they don't want to allow anybody to hurt them again. You know, it happens when people have had a very tough childhood for whatever reason. And they don't want to be hurt again. So people tend to put walls and build walls in their lives. And let me tell you something. If you want to love and you want to be loved, then you have to tear down all of that and you have to become vulnerable. You cannot experience true love unless you become vulnerable. Because in order for you to experience true love, you have to open yourself. And when you open yourself, you're defenseless. You will be hurt. And it doesn't matter how good she is or how good he is. That person you marry or that you're going to marry or that you dream to marry, guess what? When you go into that relationship, you can't go with those walls and shades and all those curtains protecting you because you're going to destroy the relationship. You got to let it all down. You got to tear the walls, bring the shades up, open the curtains, and let people into your heart. You have to become vulnerable. That's the only way you're going to experience true love. And people with the gift of mercy understand this. They don't mind being vulnerable. They don't mind opening their hearts. And then when they get hurt, somebody else says, you see, I told you so. You should have never trusted him or her, blah, blah, blah. And the person with the gift of mercy says, it's okay. It's all right. I'm going to be all right. It happens. You know? It's okay. Think about that. Well, this is very important. If you want to love or be loved, you have to open your heart. You have to be vulnerable because, trust me, they will hurt you. No matter who they are, they will hurt you sooner or later. Remember the song? You always hurt the ones you love. I can't remember that. But I found that quote from a song, and I can't remember which one it is, so I'll just give it to you. You look it up. You always hurt the ones you love. And there's people who waste the opportunities to experience love, especially love unconditional, like the love that God offers, because they're not willing to open up and be vulnerable because they don't want to get hurt. And it doesn't matter how much you've been hurt. God wants you to be vulnerable because that's the way that he can love you unconditionally. That's the way that you'll know that he loves you that much. The unconditional love of God needs you to be vulnerable for him to penetrate. Doesn't matter what you've been gone through. Doesn't matter what you have gone through in life or what you have done, how many times you've been betrayed, how many times you've betrayed others, or whatever problems you've had. God loves you unconditionally, but you have to be vulnerable. You have to open up. The same thing with the people with gift of mercy. They know that. See, Jesus made himself vulnerable. He made himself vulnerable. He suffered. He suffered for you and me. He suffered many pains, many hurts, rejection, but yet he never quit loving. The Bible never says that Jesus hated Judas. He loved them all. Judas betrayed him with a kiss for money, yet Jesus still loved him. You see, and if he loved Judas unconditionally, don't you think he can love you too? It is worth to be vulnerable and to know the love of God. The people with the gift of mercy especially, they become vulnerable to other people and they're willing to suffer as long as love has the victory. They value genuine, loyal commitment. They value commitment. They're always committed. You see, these are the people that if you ever reject them or if you ever hurt them or whatever, then their hearts, they're not like, oh, all right, we'll see. So that's how you want to deal with this. Gotcha. Don't worry. You're going to get it, right? The person with the gift of mercy does not do that. They suffer a lot when people are disloyal to them in commitments. And last, they measure relationships by time spent together. The person with the gift of mercy are the ones that always complain about, well, we need to spend time together. We're not spending enough time together. Well, I need quality time. Have you ever heard that before? In marriage, one of the two may be like that. Have the gift of mercy. Say, well, I know you love me. I know you give me all these gifts. I know you work really hard. I know you do all this stuff. I know you cook everything that I like. I know you go out there and cut the yard. I know you take the trash. Now, notice that I'm saying things that either one can do, okay? So don't think, well, he's talking about a woman or a man. You do all these things for me. You bring the bread home. Could be him or her. Or we both bring bread, and we eat a lot of bread. Right? Whatever it is. But yet, we don't spend much time together. These are the people with the gift of mercy. They cherish time. They cherish being together. They like to be close physically. They like that quality time. They really value intimacy in all of the aspects, not just sex. Intimacy in all of its worth. A person that is married to a person with the gift of mercy is always saying, can you listen to me, honey? Can you please pay some attention? Can you please sit down and listen to what I have to say? Can you please just stop and spend a little bit of time with us? Spend time with your children, whatever it is, you know. Why don't you stop doing so much? Stop the chores. Sit down, woman. Right? Whatever it is. Because they're always looking for that time together. Some parents complain and say, well, I give my children all, everything in life, and they are so unappreciative. You know, I don't know what's wrong with them. I'm like, well, maybe what they need is not all that you've given them, but your time. Maybe you need to not give them all that stuff and give them your time. Maybe that's what they need. They need to be close. That's the people with the gift of mercy, especially. And when they don't find the intimacy in relationships, some experts say that the people with a gift like this, they're the people who really, really value intimacy and time together. And when they don't get it, they get distracted. They might go to the mall, or they might spend time under the hood, or they might do something else. They spend their time at Home Depot, at the auto parts, or at the mall, and Macy's, and Dillard's, whoever, man, woman. And they go out there, and they start shopping, and they fill themselves with things, and things, and things, and many things. And all of a sudden, they find out that all these things can't fill that void of intimacy in their hearts. So since all the things in the world can't fill it, somebody else comes walking in. And they get distracted, and affairs happen. You need to pay attention. You need to pay attention to your relationship, especially in your families. Watch out for intimacy in every relationship that you have, especially in your marriage. In conclusion, see, God knows everything that happens around you. He's aware of your surroundings at all times. And he's attracted to you. See, Jesus is attracted to you and your pain. And he wants to take the pain. And he wants to heal all of your wounds. That's mercy. You see, he identifies with your pain. He's been through every pain you can imagine. He's suffered everything that you can imagine. And he also, he's just not sorry for you. And he won't just feel sorry for you. He'll do something about it. He'll be right next to you. He'll put his arm around you. He will lift you up. He will encourage you. He will defend you with all of his might. That's mercy. You see, he knows you need love. He knows you need to be loved unconditionally. Because if you weren't loved unconditionally, you're imperfect. And sooner or later, that imperfection will lead you to the wrong place. That's why we need love unconditional. Without love unconditional, we'd all be bound to hell. Because there's no way with the love of imperfect love going to heaven and knowing God in himself. Because the only way is through his unconditional love when he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us. That is mercy. And he went all the way to the cross because he's committed. He is genuine. He likes intimacy. He likes closeness. And he wants to be close to you and me for eternity. And he will be loyal up until the end and forevermore. He wants to spend time with you. He wants you to spend time with him. He wants to give you all the time in the world and in the universe and all of time, period, in eternity. That's mercy. So what you have to do is to be born again. Like I said at the beginning, if you don't know what being born again means, that you kill yourself. You die to yourself. You say to yourself, Lord, you have touched my heart and let me know that I'm a sinner. And as a sinner, I am dead. I am dead. The Bible says I am dead forevermore. And the only way I can come back to life is if you come into my heart. And if you take over my life. And if you become my Lord. You become my Savior and my King. And today I admit I am a sinner without opportunity or even power or anything to save myself. So I let you be my Savior. Come on in. Take my heart. And the Bible says that those who make that decision are born again. Now, born of the flesh, you'll still be the same. But you'll be born of the Spirit inside, from within. And you'll get your spiritual gifts because of His mercy.